to hear the news. Break out the booze. Our summer's no longer boring. A slash is loose, a monster ghoul, and a doll that'll rip your skin off. But if you're having a doubt, just ask aloud. The cult will tell you what we promise. The boys wear their skeletons on their sleeves, and we will give you
hot, sexy, dead summer. Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Tipsy Whipsy, Johnny Blitzy. How you doing?
Welcome to our annual summer special, Hot Sexy Death Summer 3D. This year we will review The Wicker Man.
Goddamn, what a theme though, right? What a theme to...
Pop it off,
that is,
yes.
Yet to be heard. I mean, it's has like... been heard. So,
it's like, how would you describe it? Like,
it's kind of like really, really good unless you have no taste whatsoever.
Exactly. That's how I would describe it, too. Yeah. Yes. And so, as always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go to a deep spoiler analysis. But before we kick off this year's fun, let's go back to TV Corner. Reviewing the season finale of season one, episode 8, An Affair to Dismember.
Season finale
of Chucky.
Of Chucky. So, there you go. It's perfect.
Yeah. Excellent. So
great sound cue.
Yes. Should we make a sound cue? Nah, TV Corner doesn't need a sound cue.
It was right there. You press play and it sounded the exact same levels as my microphone somehow, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
Which is also insane that I can pinpoint that, even though we haven't heard the full version of this yet. So I don't know for a fact it's the same levels, but I can feel it.
Kind of like losing my religion. But
did you know Michael Stipe wrote that song about this? Might
laundry.
This might offend you.
Okay.
Religion is supposed to be an allegory for his hair. And the whole song is about balding.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding. So, would you be appreciative? And this is a question. Would you be appreciative? I'm just... Nobody knows what you look like. I'm making wild assumptions about what you look like, too, because we do this...
You can't even
see
me.
This podcast blind. Yeah. We've never met each other. We've known each other for, like... I think like 20 years or something, but don't worry about that. Would you be appreciative of a major rock band writing an entire song about balding?
Would I be appreciative? Yeah, I mean, you can write a song about anything. Yeah, I would appreciate a song about balding. Oh man, that's, now that I think about it, it's a little trickier topic. Seems like a country song.
Oh man, it's too sensitive, I understand.
It's
really funny because I think the sun really started blaring through your windows right when you started thinking about this. So it was like,
I can't get rid of this. I can't get rid of this. I don't know what's going on. I was like, we never do the show this early, but we do. This is exactly what we do.
Exactly the time we do the show. I don't know why the sun decided to blare through your window at this point.
I have
just
no idea.
Changing its trajectory just for us. Which is really rad, but also sorry, Earth. We're about to go through a shit ton of storms, tornadoes, ice age, because the sun changed its polarity.
Off topic. You didn't get any of that earthquake, did you? On Saturday, Sunday?
Oh, maybe. There was a moment 10:30. Where I was like, huh, was that a quake? And then I was like, I just moved on with my life, you know, as LA people do.
Yeah.
I think people have a wild misunderstanding of how our earthquakes are if they've never lived in California. Most of the time, it is exactly what I'm talking about, where it's like, oh, shit, was that a quake? And then I just move on with my life.
Yeah, you're kind of like, it lasts only a few seconds, and then you're already like halfway through it before you realize, oh, fuck, this is an earthquake. I should probably stand somewhere. But yeah, no, it hit South Pass, they said.
Oh,
Alhambra, 3.4.
It's okay, so that's not that bad. They're, you know, the ones that last like 5 to 6 seconds, which is a long fucking time, people don't understand, are the ones that I start to get like, can this end now? This is okay.
This is a fucking boat. I'm on a boat rocking back and forth pretty much.
I do enough drugs to do this without it actually happening. I don't need to see my entire world sway one direction and the other direction for a solid 5 to 6 seconds. I'm like, it's done, right? Okay, cool. All right, let's see. Yeah. Let's see what's off about my apartment now. Let me go around and see what's slightly off.
We can rebuild.
Make it better. But we won't.
No. What's going to get us is the fires. The fires. We're going to burn to death. That's what's going to get us.
It's when you realize that the natural disasters team up. Like, the fires are like, hey, quakes, how about we do a thing together? We're going to call it, like, you know how, like, in concert they have, like, the wave? How about we do a fire wave? So the quakes help us do the wave.
Like, oh, yeah, we got...
We're fucked.
The Captain Planet of disasters. We got Earth, quakes.
Heart.
Wind. Santa Ana winds.
Yeah, heart.
We got ocean, flooding, mudslides, fire. I don't even know if these are actual Captain Planet characters, but I'm just...
Earth, wind, fire, water, and heart. I'm just kidding. There's a fucking Funnier Die thing with Don Cheadle's playing Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah.
And Ephraim Ramirez plays the indigenous kid.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a heart.
Anyway. I also stumbled upon in my algorithm. I know we're not talking about Chucky, but it's fine. This is what TV Corner is. But I stumbled upon the Alfred Molina being the child theater critic. That was actually super funny. Little obvious, I think, in the jokes they make, but it's still good.
Yeah.
Still good. Good stuff.
And if anybody's interested in stuff that I like, random things that I worked on for Funnier Die, Kiernan Shipka used to be the child psychologist, and I thought that shit was funny.
Oh, I don't think I saw that. Did you work on any of the Alfred Molina one?
No. There was one where I was working on a different one nearby, and I saw them shooting that. Sweet guy. English. Not one of us. Just kidding.
Is it that his ethnicity is undetermined, right? Because he can play anything. Anyways,
unlike
we should
Jonah
probably
Ray,
talk about Chucky.
Not Latino.
Oh, friend of the show, Jonah Ray. Still waiting for him to come on the show so we can talk about his non-ethnicity to Latinos.
Whenever you're ready to, you know, listen to us talk about you, Jonah Ray, even though I'm pretty sure you're not going to remember the podcast.
That's okay. I do have a helicopter flying by it, so just ignore that. Pretty sure somebody just had an accident. It'll be over soon. All right, TV Corner. An Affair to Dismember. So far, you and I both, I would say, love the show. Different points and levels.
Yeah.
How would you say it wrapped up? And what are your feelings on this episode?
I think it's just it's establishing itself as, hey, we're going to continue the lore that we've established, because Dan Mancini, you know, did this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also doing the show. I think it's trying to push all these things out so new things can happen in season two. And I think they did a pretty good job of that, because it's just fun. There's no... You can't get too nitpicky. I think I was kind of talking about how we're so used to a lot of drama with Yellow Jackets and From... And, you know, I think what we really need is something silly. I think we need something lighthearted. I think we need something ridiculous. I think we need something that's basically child's play.
Child's play. I got that.
I did that for you.
Okay.
It's going to make more sense when you hear it later. Nobody needs to know why I'm saying this. They don't need to know that you needed to run up and close your window real quick.
Yeah, nobody needed to know that.
There's going to be a moment where I'm gonna like, I'm going to do the same thing, and I'm going to go piss, and then you're going to call me out for going to go piss. So it's going to come full circle.
It always does. Okay. So what I would say, since I didn't hear what you were saying, I'll just give my thoughts. So I really liked this episode, even though I do have some issues with the lore. That's kind of like my only real sticking point with this show is that I'm not a fan of the deeper lore. And I get that you know, this is his world and his stuff and he can create whatever he wants to do and stuff. I'm just not on board with it. And it's a little hard to track too. It's a little hard to follow. Some things don't always make sense. And like I'm referring to like Chucky splitting his souls, who are these sort of other characters and stuff. But as far as a finale of a season, really liked it. Really, I liked the, fun. You know, really fun. One thing I'm always impressed about the show is that there's a high level of campy murders going on. Very fun, inventive, which has pretty been consistent throughout the show, which has been enjoyable. And I've liked the character progressions more or less, especially this trio.
Yes, which Junior's not a part of because he's officially become a bad guy as of last episode.
Right.
Has a change of heart because he decides, no, Chucky's trying to convince him to kill Lexi at one point. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, she's not like us. Which makes no sense because you don't kill people that are like you or not like you. You just kill people, I assume. I don't know how that works, but...
When they brought up Frankenstein as the movie they were going to show, I was knew that must have been some sort of like, it would become an allegory for something.
Yeah.
Eventually. So this episode is revealed that the allegory for Frankenstein is Junior. Junior is the monster in this episode. That was the parallel. I think the show was trying to make that he was a monster who had a change of heart or something, killed.
Yeah, that's true. So. And it's like, you know, we all get our shots, and I mean, I didn't, but you know, you get your time to act in things, and sometimes you're good, sometimes you're not. I understand he's a child. I'm not terribly broken up that he has been killed off in the show now.
That I think one of the things that has been fun to track, but I think has been in a little bit of a deep. That I, little detour is that the Lexi character came off very, you know, very bold, very kind of like feisty,
arrogant,
in the beginning,
kind
and
of
antagonistic.
An asshole, yeah.
And at this point, she's like fully turned. She's completely like on the hero's side. And I kind of feel like her characters have lost a little bit of, you know,
edge.
Teeth, you know, like edge. Yeah. She lost a little bit of edge. She's more now like the, oh no, Junior, you can't. Kill me and Bob, like he's trying to manipulate you. That's my Lexi. You're welcome.
It was really good. I thought we were listening to a clip
of
the show.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It wasn't. I did it live.
So
I know we can't see each other.
Damn, yeah. What's his name? Chris what's his name that does To Catch a Predator? Reach out to Rolando. He can do the voice.
I can do Predator's voice.
I can do Predator's voice. Ready? Son of a bitch, or whatever. What was it that he said?
It's a classic line. Classic Predator line. And I feel the same way about Devin. Devin kind of became kind of the sort of damsel that needs to be saved.
Oh my god! Yeah, yeah. Like the whole podcast thing and him being like an investigative sort of person, investigator style gumshoe. Went out the door. But I guess to be fair, it's only been like an episode or two since he's been caught, or an episode, I guess. So he was smart enough to figure out where the things were going, and then he got caught.
I also feel like, now that I'm thinking about it, like Jake kind of feels almost like, because I feel like we've introduced all these other characters, specifically like Jennifer Tilly and, what is it? The other two younger characters from the older movies. I think he's expanded his world to the point where he's adding so much like mythology to the show and stuff that I think Jake feels a little like an afterthought.
Kinda.
Even though we started with him. Like, I understand like the whole last part of this is centered on a confrontation with Chucky with the kids and stuff, but I feel like the majority of this episode is spent on Jennifer Tilly. She kind of gets like, to me, the biggest part of this finale, even though she really been kind of like in the background.
Speaking of episodes, Jennifer Tilly, because Jennifer Tilly is playing a character that possesses Jennifer Tilly, right?
Yes.
Can you please and elaborate a little bit?
Or looks like Jennifer Tilly. Huh? No? Isn't that the joke, is that she looks like Jennifer Tilly?
I think she...
And so she's able to do these like appearances?
I think from what I've seen in clips is she does possess Jennifer Tilly.
Because she plays Tiffany.
Yes.
Young Tiffany.
Or she plays Tiffany, but the Tiffany doll, I think from what I've seen from clips, I gotta own up to this. I thought I had seen Cult of Chucky. I had not seen Cult of Chucky. I was wildly wrong. But I am assuming that she purposely possesses Jennifer Tilly intentionally.
Do you know Jennifer Tilly is Asian?
Yeah, I think I did actually hear about that she is partly Asian, yes. Which is why she's...
partly? She's a Chan.
She is a very attractive woman.
Oh, of course, yes, yes. But I'm just saying, like, her actual name is Jennifer Ellen Chan.
Wow, yeah. Oh, shit, sorry. So this movie was pick number 3 or 4, sorry.
Which movie?
The one that you said was your favorite.
Top 5. Oh, you know my favorite. You know my list of favorites.
That's true.
I say them all the time.
I'm going to interject and tell you about my favorite moment seeing Jennifer Tilly in the wild. I was doing this thing over in Beverly Hills, this event, and it was like a free thing, right? Because, you know, the richer you are, the more free things are available. She had brought her kids to go to this like free live concert thing for Christmas, and I just saw her dancing with her children, her little, you know, children around a bit before she left, and I was like, that was so sweet.
Asian kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plot points, right. Chucky has
been
able to split his soul a billion times again because something about Junior killing people, that's what he needed for to fulfill the ritual.
I think what we should probably mention is the Andy surviving.
Yes.
He's at the end.
Oh, because there was a rigged explosion.
That Kyle, stepsister.
Yes, which I kept saying Kylie because I'm a piece of shit.
Devin were all potential victims, but it looks like all of them survived. Maybe Kyle, not so much.
Maybe Kyle, but they did not show Kyle's body. So there's the assumption that something might happen.
Yeah. Like when that happened, I was thinking like, no way. They like seeded this idea of Andy being this guy who's, going back and killing all the Chuckies. It's kind of like his personal mission. Probably homeless because he seems to be only doing this and doesn't really be holding a job down.
Well, no,
unless he's on an army pension.
No, they did.
He got discharged.
They did show the whole the way he escaped the asylum, right? Didn't that happen? I feel like it did.
Andy?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think I saw a clip of something. I swear they showed him escaping the asylum. Yes, because Chucky went in and there's like this confrontation where Chucky goes into the padded room, stabs Andy in the leg, and then Andy's able to subdue Chucky and kill that Chucky. And then kind of, I'm assuming that's where he tries to find Kyle and they go and try to kill the other Chuckies.
I'm just saying, like, what is his sort of like John Wick man on a mission thing? Is like, how is he funding this?
Kyle.
Like, where's...
So far, I'm assuming.
Kyle, yeah. What does she do? We've spent enough time.
makes money, fucks bitches. Sorry, don't cancel this for me saying that.
But yeah, Kyle potentially could be dead after this quote unquote explosion of the house. These three characters probably all survived, as our guests. Two of them for sure did. Another thing I wanted to note was during this, before the explosion, there was... We find out how Charles Lee Ray actually was on the run at the beginning of Child's Play. He's on the run before he like splits his soul from the cops that eventually kill him.
Oh,
and then he transfers his body to Chucky. Was young Tiffany called the cops on him, basically.
Yeah, which we didn't know. Tiffany has been repeatedly trying to fuck him over for whatever reason.
It's because she's crazy. She's
mentally unstable for sure.
Right.
Because we were kind of briefly talking about like what's the whole deal with Nika, and I'm thinking if this show was allowed to take it a step further in its sort of demented nature, we would be probably seeing Tiffany sexually assaulting, possibly raping Nika every opportunity she could, because she's obsessed with Nika for whatever reason. To a degree, where at the end we find out Nika is still around, but no longer has her limbs, because Tiffany has chopped them off.
Right,
and
yeah.
Bandaged
them.
Yeah.
She got rid of the arms and legs of Nika, which is actually a nice little plot development, and still haven't explained, and it may be in these other movies that we keep referring to. Well, two things to that. My thought is, like, I hate doing homework. Like, I know they tried their best to kind of like walk us through how Nika exists in this world and stuff, and walk us through that. But to me, it's like the pace of this show is always like too fast, to where it's kind of like things happen and then they just like quickly move on, which is I've enjoyed, but I also think that's a kind of a detour of what's going on too. I feel like they just rushed through that whole idea of what Nika is, having a part of Charles Lee Ray's soul, unlike the dolls.
Yeah, which is true. That's very valid. I'm also wondering if they're just trying to make it to where like you're forced to watch the movies so you can watch the movie and then they get another view of the movie.
Yeah, and I think like Don Mancini has every right to bring this stuff in because it's stuff that he created, and it makes sense because
make a Sparks Notes version of it, right?
make a short about this. It's a lot to take in, especially if you're coming to this series as a casual fan. I'm the most casual fan, so the fact that it got so heavy on lore and like all this backstory, you got to watch other movies. I like the show.
Yeah.
Don't know if I like it enough to revisit all these other Child's Play movies for more context, or Chucky movies for more context.
And how about we leave on this note? I gotta talk about my favorite moment of this episode.
Cool.
There are several Chucky dolls kind of around the world, you know, happening in the same area of Hackensack. And they're in a movie theater watching Frankenstein. Chucky is going around somehow murdering people by shoving knives up their asses, which I don't think is possible, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So the what's her name? Lexi's little sister only has her and her mom at this point, right? Oh no, the mom died too, right? Did the mare die? No. She's still alive.
No, she was trampled, I thought, wasn't she?
Oh,
isn't that a concept that, or she's severely injured.
I don't know.
Either she died by trampling or being trampled by all the theater people who rushed out, or she's severely injured because the husband dies first.
Yeah, he for sure is dead because
Chucky's killed all their parents
because he is drooling blood into the popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Classically, when you get stabbed in the anus, you bleed from your mouth.
I'm gonna guess she's not dead because of something I'm looking at. But you know, that's all happening, and then it's just to kind of show you that there's a bunch of Chuckies now, and the Chucky that's fighting in the theater, Jake finally gets a hold of, and again, it really feels like an afterthought. You're right, like Jake's story seems to be like sidelined somehow. But there's like he's finally got Chucky after Chucky stabbed him in the leg. And actually has a throwaway line mentioning, like, how the hell is this doll so strong, right, Jake? Because I got the power of, and he's talking about the whatever demon that he worships or whatever.
Hmm.
But Jake grabs him by the neck, and Devin is like, do you want this knife? He's like, no, I'm going to use my bare hands, which, again, these kids aren't the best actors. But he's squeezing the shit out of Chucky. Chucky's eyeballs pop out, and he just kind of, like, you know, mutilates him to death. But right before he does that, he says, no, and that's my boyfriend you're talking about. So after he kills Chucky, he turns to his boyfriend, Devin, right? It's been established. This will be day one of their relationship, which is a hell of a day to start on. You know, you're like, oh shit, what are we going to get now? Like a kiss, an embrace? No, it's a fucking high five or some shit.
Well, they're still bros.
Yeah.
I guess. You're gonna bro it up.
Yeah, bro it.
Bro.
That's how gay men do. They just bro it up.
Bro it up. High fives. Chest bumps.
I know this from the Billy Eichner movie Bros.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a documentary. Yeah, it was a note I'll add is I like that there's quite a few Chucky dolls that die, and they die in the most gruesome way possible. Yeah. And there's plenty of gore and blood, so super fan of that. Anything else happened this episode? Quickly. Why don't you talk about the little end bit about, like, Tales from the Crypt count kill he does.
Oh, where Chucky's just kind of like, I don't know why they did this. I don't know if it was just to encourage people to watch it enough to get a second season. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that was about. It was a cute little thing, though.
Yeah, there's like a little thing at the end where Chucky basically reviews how many people he's killed and wishes us a Merry Christmas. Very kind of Tales of the Crypt, if I could describe it.
That's the best way to describe it, yeah.
Really fun. I think it takes you a little out of the series, but that's kind of cool that they kind of broke the fourth wall there. I don't know if they'll continue it with the rest of the show, or maybe it's something they're going to bring up at the end of every season because they're finished their third, probably going to start their fourth.
I wouldn't mind that, yeah.
I think that if I wouldn't even say like I think this is the type of show that if you're a horror fan, you will enjoy. You don't even have to be a Chucky fan or a Child's Play fan. I think that you can just kind of watch this as a horror fan and enjoy it. There's a lot going on in the show, in other words. So if there's things, so you can push and pull the things you like and don't like about the show. So it was fun. What do you think? Last thought?
No, I agree. Yeah, I love it. So I think even if we decided to not continue doing the series, I would probably just finish it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. Okay. Let's whip off our shirts and get in our swim trunks. Summertime, baby.
It's time to talk about our pick of the week for 20 minutes. I'm just kidding.
20 more minutes? Yeah. Don't forget, we talked for like 7 minutes. So you got to subtract the 7. Anyways, let's move over to our main review of The Wicker Man. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For 1973's The Wicker Man, former secret agent Christopher Lee.
Yes.
Fun little thing. If you know, you know, and then you see him act in these things. Anyway, coming in at number 2 for The Wicker Man, families together roasting a pig.
Ah, accurate.
Topical. All right. Coming in at number 1 for The Wicker Man, repeatedly tempted cop won't Gaelic. Happy Pride, everybody. Happy Pride.
Yes, The Wicker Man. The Wicker Man. I think maybe our audience might be more familiar of the 2007
classic. Iconic.
But we're not going to talk about that
Nicolas
one.
Cage.
This is... as part of our... this is a movie that I've seen before many moons ago. When I was a teenager, I think I had read on a website about this movie, top 5 movies or whatever, or something or other. And it said that they had this unforgettable scene of a woman seducing a cop. And I was like, okay, that the description was better than what I'm describing it. But it was enough to catch my interest that I went to a video store, possibly a music store. I don't remember where I bought, but I bought the VHS of this tape. Thinking it was going to be like this really kind of like
Hastings.
Dark, edgy, maybe edgy kind of movie, but
it's just weird.
Way different than what I expected. It's just a weird just movie with a really cool ending.
Now, do you think this movie ripped off Midsommar? I'm just kidding.
Yes, I was going to get to that. I think Midsommar has a lot to owe to The Wicker Man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I also have a feeling that Midsommar and The Wicker Man ripped off Hot Fuzz mildly.
Yeah. Year be damned. All these, they ripped off each other in that order. But yeah, had you seen The Wicker Man before? Or?
I had, yes. It's one of those things where I always forget how silly the songs are. You know? Because yeah. I understand why they're silly, but every time we rewatch it, and as the years progress, the more it feels like you commissioned some child to write the lyrics to these songs. Like, they're so bad.
I think because I think that's what was in style at this time. Yeah. This sort of like singer-songwriter, you know.
Like what? Like
Joan Baez, fucking John Taylor shit. I mean, they're not shit. Those are two wonderful artists. But they were kind of like this Nick Drake, Nico fucking vibes that the music was.
And I think a good culmination of, you know, what this would become is people might, the movie Hair, right? Treat Williams, the movie Hair,
yeah,
which the play had been around, so I think this was so popular to be just the sort of, for lack of a better terminology, like a hippie stylized lyricism, and you know, even which, strong song structure, it's very folky and hokey,
right? And it's partly because of the fucking pagan undertones of this. No, well, I guess it's not even undertones. It's like it's pagan religion has taken over this island and
entirely. Yeah,
the music, it kind of reflects that as well. Did you say you were a fan of that movie when you watched it, or
yeah, no,
just
no,
certain I've aspects of a, it
I've,
that were
no, I've always been a fan of the movie.
Yeah, because I think that's a huge thing you kind of have to get over right away about this movie, that it's kind of like out of step with what's contemporary now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I could see people probably getting into it again now. If this was like the early 2010s or mid 2000s, I think people, they would have watched the Nicolas Cage one, I guess. But if that one hadn't existed, I think people would probably think, like, this is too fucking weird, dude. I don't want to watch this. It's just weird.
Yeah, because I think there's actually, like, aside from the sort of, like, outdatedness of this movie, there actually, like, is a really fun story of a sort of, like, a very religious, very uppity Catholic cop who...
A Puritan cop
who... Perfectly, I think the actor did a really good job of kind of like being this character, right? Sergeant Howie Edward Woodward. He totally encompassed this character, and I think that he did a really good job of showing the contrast and the him being so like offended by the paganism of right. of their this city. And I think it was perfectly kind of done, and I like that there's this conflict. Or they do a really good job of showing this conflict of this man's morale and standards versus something that's almost the exact opposite of his beliefs. So,
right.
Plus, there's a lot of nudity and stuff.
That's great.
Great. Christopher Lee's hair is excellent in this movie.
They do a great job of casting really weird looking dudes and like really beautiful looking women. Like
that's just Scotland for you, dude. I think.
What kind of bummed me out, especially as you know what, I know we don't like to talk about the sausages made. The reason I made the Gaelic joke, which was a double entendre, was because it is Pride Month. And I feel like if this movie embraced just sexuality in general, it would have been way like, oh my God, people would have been mind blown.
Yeah. I think that this movie was, from what I understand, this movie of the time was like heavily re-edit. Like there's a lot of different edits it's like different versions of this movie, right? Even the quote unquote, I think there's an unrated version is totally different from what got released. And there's been subsequent other versions of this movie that's come out. So, which kind of makes sense because I remember watching it as a teenager. And then when we watched it for the show, I was thinking, I don't remember large parts of this movie. Oh. So yeah. I was like, this movie feels conceptually different from what I remember of that time. So where did you watch this? Did you rent it? Did you watch it on Prime? Or
I saw it on Prime, I believe.
More than likely, we saw the same version, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
This also, man, I just don't want to be wrong about this, so I'm trying to look through the trivia, but I'm pretty sure they got the people that actually lived on this island to do this movie.
Yeah.
If I remember that correctly. Also, apparently they filmed this and they labeled it the bleakest place on earth, and then the producers were forced to apologize to the locals for saying that shit.
Yeah, was it Britt Eklund? I think she was like a model musician or something of the time. She was very, very famous in England, probably around the world of this time.
I don't know.
She was dating Rod Stewart, I think, at this time. It's some of the things I read about it.
If you are my boy.
So she appears naked, but there's like a whole controversy about that. So I don't know. I don't think that's worth kind of getting into, but it is out there if you do want to hear the controversies of that. But
just the hangups of people in the 70s, even though it was like the free love and everybody was nude era.
It was still pretty conservative, even, you know, of the even then, even when this whole movement, hippie movement was happening. I just thought of Austin Powers, but I thought of things like that era. When that was shit was going on, this is when the movie was like. But yeah.
But yeah, great film. I mean, it's just weird. I don't think this is a movie where we can really describe what happens as it goes, because it's just kind of strange. You just got to go along for the ride or you don't like it. Like, it's
a movie that's not, it's pretty straightforward. Like, it's basically just this guy is looking for this girl, this teenage girl, and she goes around and asks people and they basically say they don't know her. And there's like a bunch of
fucking blowing them off because they're partying. And then you find out later it's intentional.
right, yeah. And then that, like, he's sort of being exposed to how they live, and there's all these weird opposite things, and it's, I guess, I think this movie does a really good job of making you feel, like, almost claustrophobic. Like, this guy can't escape. It's an island.
Yeah.
Like, and there's all turns. I think this movie does a good job of, like, making you feel like the whole town is against you.
And they're not really paying attention to him. They really don't give a shit he's there. He's supposed to have authority because he's a cop, right? Or he's like a sergeant or something.
I think that it's
important.
Yeah. I think it's also disarming that these people are so nice and casual and chipper and happy.
Yeah.
About everything. So, but of course, the juxtaposition to that is that, like, they have
ulterior motives, right?
Ulterior motives, cruel. Yeah, ulterior motives and stuff like that throughout the movie. So,
and it is also important to note for when we go into spoilers, I have a very, I have a statement to make.
Oh.
But
okay.
He is very religious, and it is a very Catholic, like, it's Catholicism that he subscribes to.
Yeah.
And that these people have their own idea of a religion, which, you know, we call a cult, but it's just a different religion.
Yeah. You
know, I feel like we call a lot of things cults just because we don't agree with their beliefs. Just funny, because, like, there's no telling what's right or wrong, but people are going to tell you repeatedly, no, I grew up being told this, so this is right. It's like, well,
right.
That's not entirely true, is it? Because we used to think anybody that wasn't white was just a horrible piece of shit of a person, and that's clearly wrong. So, but yeah, I just wanted to preface that before we go into spoilers.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say before we do that is enjoyed Christopher Lee in this performance.
Yeah, he was great. He's killed people. He's great.
The early 2000s, he had like a almost like a renaissance of performances. He was like, and he was everybody's favorite bad guy actor to put in stuff. Like, he was in Star Wars, Count Dooku, he was in Lord of the Rings. He just had like this nice sort of resurgence, you know, because I think at this time was like probably his most famous period time with doing Hammer movies, working with Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
And you know, doing a lot of horror stuff. So according to Christopher Lee, says that this is his best performance. It's actually quite good.
It's very good. It's very, very good. I think he's one of those guys, he's kind of like people don't understand, oh my god, what the fuck's his name from Girls, and he was in the newer Star Wars movies as
Adam Driver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, everybody. I know everybody's going to be like, oh, could you not remember Adam Driver? Like, whatever.
Whipping out their earphones and chugging their phone across the room. John, no, I'm just kidding.
Adam Driver went into the military to fix his life and then came back out wanting to do theater again. I think it's the same thing with Christopher Lee, except Christopher Lee isn't a fucking pussy and also went out, became a secret agent and killed a bunch of fucking people. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Everybody's experiences are valid. But it's just funny to look at Christopher Lee doing this and going all in on like a zany character like this as being just weird. And yeah, in the grand scheme of things, he probably had already done a bunch of things for England, right? And killed a bunch of people before he got this part.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's kind of weird to think.
He has like... he's clearly, he's the kind of the lord of this island or whatever, right? And he plays it like...
And you don't see him for like half the movie.
Yeah. He's like this immense charisma, right? Like so confident in what he's saying and what he believes in and stuff, so...
Christopher Lee, who again you said had his resurgence in the early 2000s and also... quite famously before he passed away at the age of like, I forgot what, how old was he? Like 90 something?
Yes, he was very old. I don't know the exact age. I could pull it up.
93. Yes. Had decided to fulfill another lifelong dream and made two black metal records as a singer.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was like, fuck yeah, this guy's mad.
Yes, yeah. He just has this, he had a great, beautiful, he sings one of these like hippie songs and it was beautiful. Great voice, great big booming voice. Okay, if you don't have any other thoughts, we can go into spoilers.
Let's do it.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop, please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So how'd you feel about this film?
Not enough bees.
Not enough fucking bees. When it got to that point, I was like, why am I even going to finish this movie? I know there's only like 25 minutes left in this movie. I don't want to watch it. There's no bees. Nicolas Cage did it best.
Been edging me and teasing me this whole time, and I've been waiting for this.
I feel like Kanye West came out on my screen and said like, well, hold up. This guy did it well, but I think Nicolas Cage did it the best of all time with the bees. And I was like, I agree.
George Bush is a racist.
No, so here are, oh, maybe I should just make it my final thoughts, actually.
Oh, what do you mean? Like
my little statement. I think it should be my final thoughts.
Okay, so I've famously, I think this movie is more famous for its ending than its movie, than about them building this sort of paganist sun god wicker man.
Yeah.
That's about what, 10 feet tall or so? I think it's called
the Burning Man, and they do it in Indio, California.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, I'm dying. I'm still recovering, guys. I apologize. But yes, Burning Man. So you think Burning Man inspired this movie? Or
I don't know. I've never looked this up, but like it really feels like it. You know, sans the like sacrificing somebody, they do. I mean, if people are unfamiliar with Burning Man, it is rather expensive to go and do this thing in the middle of the desert, which wildly should be free. I'm sure it was at the beginning, but yeah. There are like different tents, and you have to collectively be a part of the group to build these things and to do this or that, do that, blah blah blah. I'm like, I don't know why I want to pay to do these things, but I have some really close friends that do this every year and they say it's super fucking fun. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I just don't have like $4,000 to drop on like going out in the middle of the desert. But they do have the orgy tent, and that's something that I want to believe happened in this movie off to the side.
Not even a part of the movie. There was an orgy tent for everybody to
it was just partake. For fun.
Just funsies. No catering.
Yeah. But what? There's a lot of which I realized tricked even. I watched this with my partner, and they were talking about how they've seen this movie before, but when there was a flashback of him being ordained or like ordaining somebody, I think like, oh, exposition, so he did this or whatever, he's religious. So I'm like, I think it's trying to establish that he used to be a priest without saying anything, which suggests a couple of things. And that's why in the big reveal at the end, oh no, our boy over here is a loser. I mean, a virgin. I'm just kidding. If you don't have sex, don't have sex. It doesn't matter. Who gives a flying fuck?
Don't feel pressure to have sex.
It's not
your body, your choice, your rules.
It's really not that good at all or exciting unless you have sex with me. So it's not. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Be good, little Sallys and Billys and Theys,
Sergeant Howies.
But yeah, he's a virgin, which is important to the ritual that they're going to do to sacrifice him in the Wicker Man that he never saw being built. This gigantic, like 30-foot tall man thing made out of wicker, that they entrapped in the middle of. There is one character that kind of goes around as like a fun-loving, like big guy who apparently is got superhuman strength, which I didn't really.
That's all big men do. Yeah, yes.
Which makes sense. I didn't pay attention to until the end when he's like manhandling the shit out of the cop. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, they sacrifice him because that's what they needed. They needed somebody who had the power of a king. So it was this like chief cop that was like, I have this authority. You guys aren't paying attention to me. And they're all like, we don't care, dude.
Pretty much, yeah.
You're going to die in a couple of days. You don't know, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
It almost seemed like that was the plan all along.
Because it was. Oh, yeah. Shit. They orchestrated the whole fucking thing. Because when a cult lives on its own island, they're like, how do we figure out what to do next? Well, we have plenty of time.
How do we get virgins here?
Figure it out. Yeah. That's what it is. Hey, mainland, do you have like a... I'm holding up a fake phone with my hand. Hey, mainland, do you have a... We got our hang-ups about religion. You have like a Puritan sergeant to bring over here? They're like, yeah, totally. Okay, cool, because there's this girl missing. What's her name? Her name is... this is me looking around, by the way. shit. This blonde chick.
It's like, we were looking for somebody. Last name, V-I-R-G-I-N? Yeah, yeah. Jihadity of those?
First name, P-L-E-A-S-E. Middle name, B-E. you got anybody? I mean, we lost them, is what I meant to say. Shit. Like, oh, we got you. Oh. Thank Wicker Man. God.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened. Thank the gods. We basically gave you verbatim what the deleted scenes are.
Off-screen conversation that happened. And how they persuaded Sergeant Howie to take this investigation. But yeah, no, he basically... gets burned alive in the Wicker Man, and sacrifice is because they had a bad crop. This is for them to correct that.
It's important to note he's still yelling and he's singing the songs of Catholicism Christ. And Christ and all these things as he's dying. And yeah,
it's a powerful thing. I mean, it works to me. It works. It's a little it could be a bit much. Yeah. I think it's a very high drama bordering on, you know. It could easily be dismissed as silly.
Yeah.
But for what it is, I think it works plenty fine for me.
So
what about you?
So with what you just said, are you ready to hear my final controversial statement?
Yes.
I believe this movie is about a certain group of people that we all kind of worry about. They end up being nowadays, right? They end up being the people that shoot up Columbine. End up being the people that you know, murder people because of disgruntled nature. This movie is trying to tell you, even if you got bullied a lot and you were a weird virgin nerd who never got their shit together and you decided, hey, fuck everybody, now I'm gonna be a high level cop and I'm gonna bully whoever the fuck I want, you're still gonna get outweirded and bullied and killed by another even bigger, weirder group of people. You fucking dweeb. So just be cool. Drink, have sex. Smoke weed.
Oh, there's more to that.
Cocaine. All day, every day. But don't do any of those things, because all that shit sucks. But just do it, nerd. All right. I love you. We're the Skeleton Boys. We'll see you next time.
Wig. Well said, John. Very well said. Thank you. Yes. Well, why don't we just go on and rate this. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh,
sexy bones. Well, I know what you need.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give this dweeb getting myrtled 9.5 sexy spooky bones.
Wow.
Yeah.
You really liked The Wicker in this bag.
It's right up my alley. It's just fucking weird. And I know, I've seen this movie before. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll watch this again. I like how weird it is. It's just fun.
It's a fun weird, yeah. It's a kind of a weird, fun weird, but yeah. Alrighty, yeah, I wasn't gonna do a 9, but I was gonna do a 7. I really did enjoy it. It does feel a little dated, which could be a hurdle for a lot of people, but there's a very thought-provoking movie in here.
I think we need to convince people that, like, I know it's dated and it's old, but, like, just enjoy what it is.
Right.
You know, because we're not going to get another movie like this ever. It's like...
They've tried.
And it just does not land well, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, what did they do in that other one? They updated it. There was only women on the island and Ellen Burstyn's doing stuff. She's the Christopher Lee part, which is...
You know, right when he's about to get sacrificed, they put a weird wicker helmet on him. Then that's full of bees, and it's famously Nicolas Cage yelling, "No, not the bees, the bees!" Because that's exactly what you would yell if you're getting stung by a bunch of bees. You would coherently say words.
And he's like constantly like slugging women in the face.
That's right. We did have a conversation about whether we should do the original or this one, and I agreed with Rolando. I was like, no, we should just do the original because it's a far superior movie. It's good. Wicker Man remake is good for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, that's Patreon stretch goals, guys. You want us to do a live commentary of the Wicker Man.
Wicker Man, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky.
Everyone, hold hands and eat some popcorn, and we'll kill babies. Bye.